Welcome to Water Warmth's Exploring Aquathermal Energy series podcast. I'm Leся Lagvinenko, your host and facilitator for today's discussion. And in this episode, we will be diving into the world of aquathermal energy, a promising and sustainable heating solution that has the potential to change the way we approach energy across Europe. Water Warmth is a European-funded international project that brings together 20 partners from six countries, ranging from France to Sweden. And the project focuses on both the theoretical and practical development of aquathermal energy systems. 3 years, the partners will be working together to develop feasibility studies, pilots, strategies, and roadmaps to help bring these systems to realization across the continent. In today's discussion, we are joined by two experts with deep knowledge of the subject. First, we have Len Kusemant, a project engineer and renewable energy expert from Extrat, based in Leuven, Belgium. Len's work focuses on supporting aquathermal energy projects, conducting feasibility studies, and designing technical concepts. As the work package leader of Water Warmth's feasibility study guidelines, he's playing a key role in shaping how the studies are developed. Welcome, Len.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And our second guest is Lars Zwenewald, a policymaker from the municipality De Vruismeren in the Netherlands, who is responsible for the transition to fossil-free heating systems. Lars has been involved in several district heating projects and local initiatives. And in the Water Warmth project, he works on the implementation of large-scale projects, including fossil-free Terheim. Welcome, Lars.
Thank you, Lesia, for having me here.
Thank you. Today, we are focusing on the importance of feasibility study in relation to aquathermal energy. And Len will share his insights on why these studies are crucial, while Lars will give us a perspective from the public authority side, highlighting how aquathermal energy fits into long-term sustainability goals and local energy strategies. Stay tuned as we explore the potential of aquathermal energy and how it can help shape the future of heating solutions across Europe. Aquathermal energy may not be as widely known as other renewable energy sources, and my question goes to Len. Could you please explain what aquathermal energy is and why it is considered a promising technology of the future?
By our definition, aquathermal energy is using surface water as a source for heat pumps. So a heat pump always needs an energy source. In classic systems, this can be air or ground. But in our case with aquathermal energy, this is the surface water. So it has comparable efficiencies to a geothermal heat pump, but typically lower costs and has less spatial impact. And that's why we see this as a very interesting technology.
Thanks for the explanation. And it leads to another aspect, the importance of feasibility studies. Len, could you please explain the main factors you believe that need to be considered when conducting feasibility studies? Why do you think they are essential for successful implementation?
A feasibility study on aquathermal energy usually consists of four main topics. So first main topic is a thermal screening of the water body. What you want to avoid is that you deplete your water body when you draw heat from it and that it freezes over or something like that. So you really need to look into what is the total potential, the maximal potential of your water body. Second part of the feasibility study is a technical concept design. Your location might limit you from doing certain things, so you need a concept that works, a concept that is within the constraints by regulations, and that will serve you the way you like. And we, in a feasibility study, it's of course needed to do this concept design to know what you can place from in what installations you can create. Then an equally interesting part is the permits screening and preparation, because in order to place an aquathermal energy system, you need agreement from the water body authorities. And we noticed that it's very important to already talk to them in the feasibility stage, to speak with them about the project and to receive input from them. And that we can then again translate towards the technical concept to create a more feasible project. And a very interesting fourth subject in a feasibility study is the financial analysis, in which it's actually important to assess all different technological options and to support the client in its decision making. So in essence, feasibility studies allow for fair decision making, and they already create a technical and a financial plan for your project.
Thank you. Thank you, Len. It was explicit, and I guess it's very good point that you mentioned that the bridge, communication bridge, should be built on the early stage of feasibility study. And now I would like to involve Lars into our conversation. And Lars, as a policymaker, how do you see aquathermal energy integrating with existing energy systems, especially in places like Terhen and Balk in the Netherlands? And maybe my second question, what do you think, could this technology become an attractive solution for local municipalities?
Yes, thank you. The first part of the question, how do I see this in the broader energy landscape? Well, at the moment, at least in the Netherlands, we have our heating system based almost 100% on natural gas. We had a very large gas reserve in the north of the Netherlands. And so in the last decennia, like almost everybody has been using that for heating their homes. Now, with the new climate agreement in Europe, the Netherlands has made a plan that by 2050, natural gas should be phased out for heating homes. So we have a challenge as a government to get everybody on a fossil-free system. So that one of those solutions can be aquathermal energy. It can even be an individual system, but I am working mainly on the collective, larger scale implementation, so district heating networks. And if we look at Terhaarne and Balk, those are two villages in the municipality I work for, they have some unique characteristics. Terhaarne, for example, is technically an island. There are two bridges connecting it to the rest of the world, but it's completely surrounded by water. Even through the village, there's everywhere there's water. And Balk is a bit larger city, but it has a river running through it. So water is enough. The municipality I work for is called the Friese Maren, which translates to the Frisian lakes. So you can see that our municipality has a nice focus on water, but that also results in the small size of the villages. So we are looking into a source that is abundant, available, and we are also a touristic municipality. We have a lot of tourism here. So also the problem of noise pollution or the aesthetics of the surrounding. These are historic villages. So if everybody would get your classic air-sourced heat pump with the large unit on the outside of the building, that wouldn't match with the historic setting of the village. If we wanted a large solar field next to the village to collect solar thermal energy, that wouldn't match with the aesthetics. There's also some farming ground, and farming ground in the Netherlands, well, there's a large discussion on Well, if it can be used for other things besides farming, for example, energy production, or in this case, heat production. But that's a debate that is going more and more in favor of continuing with farming and less availability for other options. So aquathermal energy for us as a municipality, because as Len said, there's little visual impact, there's little spatial impact, and we have an abundance of water. So for us as a municipality, this is a very attractive solution, especially if we can look into getting it affordable enough for our inhabitants, because they're used to very cheap natural gas straight from under them. But they have to change. So this can be one of the better solutions for our municipality.
Yeah, that was a vivid description of both cities, and thank you for that. But as we are now speaking about alternative energy sources, I want to ask both of you about comparing with other heat pump technologies. Len, as someone working on the ground, could you share how aquathermal systems stand up against other alternatives in terms of cost, efficiency, and scalability?
Well, in terms of investment costs, generally, aquathermal energy systems are right in between air source heat pumps and geothermal heat pumps. And in terms of efficiency, they're actually quite comparable or maybe slightly lower than geothermal heat pumps, but they're usually better than air source heat pumps. And that is also what creates their value, actually. What we see with when we discuss technologies with our clients is that they also take other factors into consideration. For instance, how feasible the technology is. Like an air source heat pump is often quite visible because you have to place your outside unit somewhere, whilst with aquathermal energy, this is mostly invisible because it can be underwater. Another thing that is nice about aquathermal heat is that there are no large groundworks needed. For instance, when you want to place a geothermal heating network or geothermal heating source, you will need big groundworks, and it has a huge impact on, for instance, a garden or a city area. But with aquathermal heating, yeah, the water is already there, so you just have to find a way to tap into that potential.
Okay.
And also, aquathermal heating makes no noise. It only makes noise inside your utility room, but otherwise not in the public area, and not next to your sleeping room or something.
Oh, Len, nice that you talk about the utility room, because I have a question about that. As a municipality, of course, those utility rooms are something that we have to place somewhere in our area. Usually, we look for municipal grounds, especially if we, as a municipality, want to exploit and run the system as a whole, or even if we want to be a partner, then it makes it really easy if we can use it on our ground. But can you tell me about those utility rooms? Is about what kind of sizes maybe do I have to think for a small city with maybe 2,000 houses?
Well, in terms of those very big projects, it all kind of depends on which technology you choose. Well, mostly from these big projects, you will choose an open loop aquathermal heat source, which means that you will actually pump up water. You will send it through your heat exchanger and get water out, get the heat out, and then send the cool down water back to your water body. And actually, you can have very large power that you can draw from the water with not that much surface area for your technical room or your utility room. It's hard to put numbers on this, but in Belgium, we designed like a 1 megawatt plant where the extraction, the heat extraction unit, was about 6 on 6 meters that it took.
Yeah. But that was a very technical deep dive, and few interesting facts about real projects. Yeah, WaterWOMS is working across several countries and bring together various stakeholders. And I would like to discuss now collaboration, because that's the most, I think, one of the most part of the whole setup. So the question goes to both of you. And what are some of the key lessons you have learned in terms of collaboration? And how do you see the role of feasibility studies in scaling up aquathermal energy projects across Europe? Maybe you could share your do's and don'ts.
The feasibility studies, we really need them as a municipality. As a policymaker, I can say that I at least understand the technology after a few years, so I know what I'm speaking about. However, the decision making in a municipality is done by our council members. And our council members simply don't have the time to do a deep dive for every project. They have so many subjects they have to make the regulation on a daily basis. So we use those feasibility studies to inform our council members. And without those, they would be completely lost. I wouldn't be able to advise them if I don't have those numbers and the advices myself. So there they are very important.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What about you, Len? What are your key lessons you could share with us?
Well, I guess we already experienced what Lars was saying, that when you are thinking about a project, it really helps when there is like a community that thinks together with you, because ultimately we are just a company from another city, even sometimes from another country, and we need those local people to really understand how a project would look like, what are they sometimes afraid of, what are they worried about. And so taking into account all the stakeholders and talking with them, even in a feasibility study, that's already, it really helps towards building a concept that works for everyone. So that's an interesting takeaway, I guess. What we've also noticed when doing these studies in different countries is that every country has kind of a different vision on aquathermal energy, even about what the word itself means. But we see that, for instance, when in rules and regulations, things are often different in different countries. And again, there you need the local contacts, the local collaboration, to really make a feasibility study that is worth something.
Yeah, thank you, Len. And I think that efficient communication could be built by efficient coordination, project coordination. That's pretty much important.
Something, because Len, you say something about the community, and that's also a trigger for me, because I mentioned our council members have to decide. But those are not the only ones that have to decide. Our inhabitants, the end user of a system, they are so important for the success of a project. So also the feasibility studies that Len can provide for us, that's something that we not only go to our council members, but we also give it to our inhabitants, so they know what is being done in their village. We even have several energy corporations working together with our municipality. And together with those energy communications, we ask companies like the company from Len if they can provide us with feasibility studies. So it's not only a final decision making by council members, but it's also a participation tool to get your inhabitants to feel comfortable with the direction that the project is going. Because if the feasibility study says it's very feasible, well, and probably cheap enough, then inhabitants will be enthusiastic. But if the feasibility study says, well, it's very difficult, it might be a bit more expensive than you are used to paying for your natural gas at this moment, well, then it can also be a hindrance. But at least you have something to have a discussion with your inhabitants. So also on that part, it's critical tool for developing these projects.
Yeah, this is a huge educative potential, I would say. And if we just touched this pretty much interesting point, what do you think, Lars? What are the key common misconceptions or obstacles regarding aquathermal energy? You shortly touched on how to address some of the challenges, but maybe just to summarize what you are facing with in your municipality.
Well, in my municipality, I face a lot of preconceptions. And almost all of these preconceptions are based on a lack of knowledge. For example, the question, who should run a district heating network in our municipality? If I speak to some council members, our board of directors, about a municipal heating company, well, they directly assume 100% ownership from the municipality. But that's something that's a project to find out what kind of district heating company would we want as a municipality. Do we even want it as a municipality? Maybe we just want to endorse our energy corporation. Maybe we ask the province or the national government to run a project. Even a commercial company can still run a district heating network in the Netherlands. There are some exceptions in the Dutch regulation that still allows commercial companies to run a district heating network in the Netherlands. So those kind of misconceptions based on pure assumption, if they hear one word and they go, oh, what if, and we don't want it, and then I have a few weeks, months, years even to talk them back to, no, we want a company, we don't know if it's going to be municipal, but let's look into the possibilities. So that's something, the lack of knowledge and the overreaction that usually results from that lack of knowledge with assumption that I have to work with.
Thank you, Len. Speaking of challenges, I guess we have covered them pretty deep. And of course, this conversation is a kind of pain because that's a daily life and these hurdles need to be sorted out and overcome. But that brings me to my next questions about opportunities. Len, where do you see aquathermal energy in 5 years?
We know is that the potential for aquathermal energy is huge. We've performed multiple potential scans in different areas to see how much energy we can take out of water bodies and how much of cities or municipalities we can heat with that. And it shows that there's really a lot of potential. So what we need to do now is start the evolution towards getting aquathermal energy widely known and to actually start building a lot of these concepts and to start building a lot of these projects in order to use them to fight climate change. And I guess that in 5 years, what I would like to see is that we've made big steps in that, that aquathermal energy is, for instance, if someone explains what a heat pump is, that they will also say there are three types of sources: air, the ground, and surface water. So that's what I would like.
Thank you, Len. Lars, now the question goes to you. How do you think other municipalities or regions can take inspiration from your experience when they start implementing similar projects? That also refers to your perspective of how do you see aquathermal energy in 5 years?
Well, in 5 years, I hope that I have several physical examples in our
Oh, that's
municipality
great.
so that other municipality can come to us, look at the physical project and see it working for themselves. And I also hope that, well, at the moment, there's quite a steep early adopter tax. For collective systems, it's a bit less because those techniques are a bit more developed already. But especially for individual systems, aquathermal energy, like Len said, it isn't common at the moment. But we're working on a project with the potential for a few hundred houses in one of the villages. So we hope we can go from the niche market towards the more mainstream. So as Len said, it's just one of the three options for heat pump sources. And yeah, it's a standard. If it has become a standard.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Len and Lars, for sharing your thoughts on aquathermal energy and in particular how feasibility studies play a crucial role in making these projects a reality. And I wish you a success with your projects. I really appreciate your insights. And to our listeners, I hope this conversation give you a clear picture on how aquathermal energy fits into the bigger picture of sustainable heating. Thanks, Len and Lars, for sharing your thoughts on aquathermal energy and how feasibility studies play a crucial role in making these projects a reality. I really appreciate your insights.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. It was a nice opportunity to inspire other people.
Thank you. That was in-depth discussion. And to our listeners, I hope this conversation gave you a clear picture of how aquathermal energy fits into the bigger picture of sustainable heating. Stay tuned for future episodes where we will continue to explore the aquathermal technologies and the critical work behind making them a reality. Thank you.